Hello and welcome back to Tapped. It is I, Joseph, and I'm here with Julie and Gretel, and it's 2018. We are back. We've been on assignment for a while, but now the holidays are over, and we are ready to share with you plenty of stories, opinions, observations, mishigas, etc. So here we are in our undisclosed location, and welcome. Hey, what's going on?
Hi, Happy New Year! I know it's February already, but I think it's still worth saying Happy New Year.
Yes, and by on assignment, the flu and pneumonia, I highly recommend y'all wash your hands frequently and don't go to work when you're sick.
Or in our undisclosed location, which is also a cold city, nobody likes to come out of their house for at least several months.
Precisely.
Which we are very glad that one of the members of the Tapped organization here did venture out into the chilly.
I took a bus and I walked.
Wow.
Yeah. She's the hero of the day, the Shiro.
MVP, Gretel.
That's fantastic.
So speaking of pneumonia, you had it.
I did, which was why we were sort of on hiatus. Again, it was perhaps one of the most miserable experiences I've ever had. I don't wish it on my worst enemy. Like I said, wash your hands. Please don't go to work sick because it's just not fun, and it's not fun for the folks around you.
I just got a New York Times alert yesterday that the flu is the highest rate ever reported this year.
It's horrible.
So,
do you get flu shots?
That's personal.
I will just say that like the flu shot this year is only 10% more effective, and I will judge you or not judge you whether you feel like that 10% is useful to you or not, but something needs to change.
I have asthma, and they tell me every year that I should get a flu shot, and for a few years I did, and nothing happened, and then a few years I continued, and I got the flu like 2 years in a row, and I have since stopped taking the flu shot because...
You find a correlation.
Yeah, and I would rather deal with asthma than the flu.
Right.
So, I mean, asthma I can handle. I'm used to it by now. It's not comfortable, but...
Well, they do say that it's actually sort of a myth that it is a dead, you know, the flu inside the flu shot is won't give you the flu.
No, that's utter nonsense.
I know, but that's what the experts do say. But you did get the pneumonia vaccine.
I got the pneumonia vaccine. They didn't say was going to give you pneumonia. I figured a vaccine.
And it didn't.
And it didn't, so knock on wood.
And I have to say, after I caught pneumonia, you didn't get sick at all.
No.
So I say it works, and truthfully, I did get one myself. And so I pray we'll never have to go through that again. I used a popsicle to break my fever. I thought it was brilliant. I thought I was MacGyver. Joseph said, we're going to the hospital. So it was not, it's not pleasant. It's not fun. But yeah, that's why I say wash your hands. Cover your mouth, everybody.
Yeah, I would just recommend go to a doctor if you're feeling sick, and make sure that you're staying hydrated and well, and de-germ yourself as much as possible.
I mean, we're not medical professionals, so we take no liability. It's just as the fellow people sitting next to you as you commute to work.
Cover your mouth.
Cover your mouth, please. Yeah. But, you know, it did allow for me to catch up on a lot of TV viewing, Netflix viewing, etc. And one thing we did binge this week, we DVR'd the Grammy Awards. And Gretel, you unplugged. You don't have cable, do you?
I don't have cable, but it was on CBS. I do have an antenna. I don't know if everybody knows what that is, but...
Please explain.
I have two rabbit ears, but it's a little extension off of that comes out of a digital box, which then goes into my TV, but allows you to watch basic network television. Mm. such as NBC, Fox, CBS, ABC, PBS, you know, all the good stuff. But I did not watch this live. I was traveling at the time, but I did catch up on all of the performances, the GIFs, the memes, thanks to things like social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and just a love of music. So I'm excited to jump in and discuss both the winners, losers, and performances.
Speaking of DVR, we're just taking a quick look at the opening. Kendrick Lamar, you've been a huge fan, Gretel, like from the get-go.
I mean, Kendrick's been around. He is such a lyrical genius. I think that's really hard to deny. And he's also shifted hip-hop rap in a way, just the way that he covers both politics and the speed of which he delivers his songs. I've seen him live, and he always delivers in performances, you know, both in person and on TV. And I love the way that he incorporated Dave Chappelle.
That was brilliant.
I'm also here for Dave Chappelle's comeback and his recent Netflix specials. So I think, you know, he encompassed a feeling, an emotion, and a year, I felt like, in an opening performance, which is really key for something like the Grammys.
Well, the thing that struck me both this year, and I guess it was last year's Grammys, when he performed also, what I enjoy about him is that he's really a performance artist. I mean, these are like almost performance art installations. And this was a very interesting choice for the Grammys to make as their opening act, because it's a pretty heavy piece. I mean, it's kind of long, and it really is pretty smacks you in the face. It's not like when ladies and gentlemen, the Police reunion or something kind of floofy to get you back into the show. This is like hardcore, slams you in the face.
And for those who haven't seen it, I mean, he opens up and it's a stage full of young men dressed in army fatigues. And it's a very powerful, I think, well choreographed piece.
Yeah.
And truthfully, I'm not an avid Kendrick listener. It's sort of like listening to Hamilton. I don't catch everything he says, but the feeling, the emotion he pours into this, and then that amplified by having the giant American flag, this dance troupe, it was really, I knew it was strong political. I knew the feeling he was evoking, yeah, that there is this rage simmering. And I just thought it was a really strong, really strong performance.
Yeah.
Of this time.
Yeah.
This wasn't a Beyonce opening.
Right.
This is something different. We're in a different time.
But I mean, I think he, as you said, Joseph, is a great artist. His music videos of the last year that accompanied this album were some of my favorite. They're intricate. They were artistic. And, you know, as some people use the word brilliant. And as much praise as we're putting on Kendrick right now, I think it's also interesting, as everybody asks, is Kendrick going to finally win this year? Because he's been snubbed year after year for Album of the Year, you know, despite being nominated or even sometimes in the hip hop rap categories. And so this was a big question mark, and it opened up to have it open up the night. It was like, oh, maybe he'll win this year.
Right.
And we, as we found out, it was not the case. Yeah.
Which it's so interesting because, again, as powerful as this was, you have Bruno Mars, who was the big winner of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a glossy, entertaining performance. It was Bruno Mars and Cardi B.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at it and I couldn't help it. I was like, it had the Google colors on the set. It was primary colors. It was bouncy. It was fun. A lot of the song he performed, I think it's called Finesse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They just kept sampling old songs, and I was like, oh, that's catchy. I know that. But it just felt so different from the Kendrick Lamar performance. And that was completely intentional. I think even in his acceptance speech, Bruno Mars said, look, I wanted to create an album like the kind I grew up with. It was fun. It's poppy. And I just wanted to do something happy. Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. Yeah, I mean, it's terrific.
But a word I heard was retro pop for Bruno Mars, which I agree with. And, yeah. You know, 24K Magic, the entire album really encompassed that. You know, people really know. And Bruno Mars has a great way of making catchy songs.
Oh, absolutely.
That are universally liked, but, like, are they critically... you know, appreciated on the level like a Kendrick may be appreciated? I think that's another question. And, you know, again, those were all throwbacks. And I think for the Grammys, they really like to honor the past. But also that feeling of nostalgia and really rewarding that. And I felt that way at different points of the night, not only with the Bruno wins, but in some of the performances and selection of winners.
They oftentimes, I'm noticing in the past couple of years that when they bring out the sort of older acts, mm-hmm. forgive me, those are the performances that they're usually terrific. I remember a couple of years ago, Ringo Starr did Photograph. Why they had Ringo Starr on the Grammys in like 2016, I have no idea, but he killed it. I mean, I was sitting there going, who would think that Ringo would kill the mm-hmm. Grammys? And this year, we had the big surprise. I don't think any of us were expecting the great, the grand dame.
Oh, I was wondering which one? I was like, there's a couple.
Are you talking about Elton John?
I wasn't, but that
Sting?
No, Patti LuPone!
Okay.
I mean,
that was amazing.
Was amazing.
Chills. Absolute chills.
And let's remind ourselves, she's in a 20,000 seat arena doing a Broadway show tune that is her.
That, from 30 years ago. Give me some Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah.
But Patti LuPone nailed it.
Nailed it.
I was immediately transformed.
And I love that she was trending on Twitter.
Yeah. I mean,
like where that, she belonged.
Right. But that is, to me, very exemplary of, like, what the Grammys does. Like, yeah, they have Best New Artist. And it, look, I was exposed to music that I wasn't necessarily would have found otherwise. And now I'm like, ooh, Alicia Cara, she's really good. I'm going to check out more of her stuff. But, like, you know, Patti LuPone knocked it out of the park. Then there was the big collaboration, Elton John and Miley Cyrus. Wow.
So I mean,
that was stunning. Yeah. Her dress was gorgeous.
I want that dress.
The dress was...
Shout out Zach Posen.
Was that Zach? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's gorgeous. She looked lovely.
He did not disappoint with his outfit. I mean, yes, the Donald Duck Minnie Mouse outfits of days of yore are gone. But he's still, you know, even though he's wearing, you know, a suit, it's still an Elton John suit.
Yeah, speaking of retired, I am looking forward to his retirement tour.
The three-year retirement tour.
I mean, he's number one on my bucket list, to be really honest. And he knows how to go out in style.
Yes, he does.
And on that note, too, Neil Diamond announced the same week that he has retired from... touring because of his diagnosis of Parkinson's. So we send our good vibes and the best out to Mr. Neil Diamond, though I'm still hoping in my heart that he'll do one last performance at Madison Square Garden. I can't imagine someone who has so loved his fans and loved touring that I'm just holding fingers crossed, but we don't know how progressed it is. Right. But Neil, if you're listening...
You're loved, Neil.
You are beloved and loved, and so that's my hope.
So, speaking of collab performances, there were some really great ones, as we discussed, Miley and Elton. But what did you think of Sting and Shaggy?
Well, the subway karaoke, I hated.
I was a little offended as a New Yorker.
The Englishman in New York thing, I loved. I thought it was great. And Shaggy's voice melds so well with Sting's. There's just a chemistry there that you wouldn't necessarily expect, but I thought it was terrific.
Yeah, we want to rewrite the video. Like, we didn't like the subway carpool karaoke, but we thought the ending needed a better twist.
Yeah.
Tell them your ending.
So they're on the subway, and the construction worker's yelling at them to stop singing, which would, of course, happen in a New York City subway. And he starts to get tough with Sting. And he's like, I'll show you. And he punches Sting.
No, he punches, punches James Corden.
Oh. All right, so he punches James Corden, which I don't think was the proper ending. The proper ending should have been, oh, I'll show you, and he belts out Nessun Dorma.
I agree.
Yeah, just opera, just knock them away.
Which also would have happened in New York.
Yeah, that totally would have happened in New York.
But as a New Yorker, I just thought that's not who we are, and this was obviously written by somebody who's a Los Angelino, because we don't do that.
Yeah, we have some attitude, but we also have a lot of appreciation. There are some amazing performances that I have seen live in our subway system.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, that was... But I liked the Englishman in
New York. I thought the Englishman in New York was terrific. What did you think of it?
It was a surprise. I mean, it's really hard to get It Wasn't Me out of my head.
We were singing that as he came out.
And, like, not separate that. Which was a fascinating experience. So I thought it was fine, surprising, but I didn't know if I would, like, buy that album, to be honest.
Okay.
That's fair.
Sure.
That's totally fair. That's fair.
But did they do an album together? Or
they, like, the it's like they did, yeah, they've done, like, collabs
so
together.
It wasn't one of, like, because in the past, the Grammys have really put together some unique
That is true.
Pairings.
But they have collaborated on something.
See, something we learned.
Speaking of which, though, because we've only pretty much mentioned guys, what were some of your other favorite performances?
Kesha. That was so moving, so powerful. I was so proud of her, and I could feel the love and the energy from the women surrounding her. She sang her new song, Praying, it's off her album.
Yeah.
Is it Rainbow?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for those who don't know, Kesha has been going through a lot with a former manager. Producer.
Dr. Luke.
And so it's a he said, she said situation. So it's a lot that she's had to deal with personally. And this was her triumphant moment to say, look, you didn't make me a star. I made myself who I am today. And I just thought that was really powerful, that you're not going to keep me down, that I'm going to sing and I'm going to be myself and you can't take that away from me. And I just thought that was extremely powerful. But for the second time this award season, there has been a triumphant moment. The first was in the Golden Globes after Oprah Winfrey said her piece in this amazing speech, because she was the honoree of the evening of the Golden Globes. And instead of cutting to commercial, they cut back and there's poor Ron Howard and Natalie Portman who have to give out the next award. And I said, you missed a moment.
Yeah.
You cut to commercial.
Cut to commercial.
And they did the same thing.
And there's James Corden, who's trying to, like, say something.
He tried really hard. And you could see it in his eyes, like, don't screw this up.
Right.
Because he could feel that emotion. And, you know, it wasn't just Kesha. She was surrounded by an entire stage worth of women. Cyndi Lauper.
Camila Cabello.
Andra Day. It was incredibly powerful,
yeah.
And they all surrounded each other after the song was over and hugged each other, and you could feel that feeling after Praying. Praying was honestly one of my favorite songs of 2017, without a doubt. It was on repeat a lot, and I think, and obviously too, given the Time's Up momentum and everything like that, and they were all in white because instead of wearing all black, women carried white roses to symbolize support of the Time's Up movement for the Grammys, and so so, you know, they really captured that.
And the introduction by Janelle Monáe.
Yeah.
I was cheering her on. It was very strong and powerful. And that was the highlight of the whole performance. But then to cut to James, who really tried. It was badly done.
Yeah. And was an unfair position to put him in because it's such a delicate moment. And then to cut to a dude who has to comment. It's like that SNL bit, like, be careful what you say. I mean, you can actually sort of see the panic on his face.
You can see it on his face.
And then it went into this really powerful moment with Camilla talking about dreamers. Right. And I said, gosh, we could have had two really great moments separated by a commercial and then come back and let that segment go on. So for the Oscars, folks, again, if you're listening, Tonys, anyone, if you have a very powerful moment like that, go to commercial. Yeah. Please, we're begging you.
And when do you ever say, please watch commercials? You need that breathing room to soak it in and not, because then it creates another moment that takes away from the power of the song and the performance.
Because then we all go to Facebook and Twitter and we start writing about it.
Let it breathe. So advertisers also ask to be for more commercial breaks.
Right. Lady Gaga, if I may.
Yep.
I thought Lady Gaga's performance was amazing. Her white angelic cape, the angel wings with Mark Ronson playing guitar, I thought was gorgeous. And Pink.
Even in jeans and a t-shirt, that woman delivers. I thought it was really sweet.
With the woman signing alongside her, which was a really beautiful touch.
But noticeably missing was Lorde. Do you want to talk about that backlash?
One shout out for Pink. I thought that was beautiful, and she's also released that video, a compilation video, to also benefit UNICEF. So I shout out for Pink for also really supporting others, you know, through the use of her platform.
I love her.
And music. I think Pink, obviously, we've gone to see her in person.
She's just an awesome
and she's
human
forever
being.
Lasting, and I, you know, will continue to buy and listen to her
and
music
I would
forever.
Say, I mean, every time someone came out like Lady Gaga, we're like, she's the real deal. Like, she composes, she plays, she sings. I was like, wow, she did that live. Thank God there were no problems like with Adele the other year.
Yeah.
And the same with Pink. I was like, wow, she's the real deal. Listen to that voice. And that's unusual, I think, given the music industry in the past. But I really felt so many of these performers like, wow, they're the real deal.
It's true. And it was sad that Pink and Kesha lost to somebody who is a real deal, but to Ed Sheeran.
Oh. 4 out of 5.
One of these things is not like the other.
I don't understand, except that maybe it was a poppiest, most Billboard song of the year, The Shape of You. Right? Is that the...
Now, don't get me wrong. I got nothing against Ed Sheeran. I don't get him.
Yeah.
I don't understand his appeal. But it just was a little grotesque that you had... It was Pink, Gaga...
It was Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson and...
Kesha.
And him. He's not there.
Right.
And he wins.
Maybe he knew. Because how do you go up and accept that in this time of
just,
year?
It just... But how did that happen?
Good question. And I'm about to read a couple of fun facts here.
Okay.
Yay! So...
Fun fact time!
The other, you know, as we've, you know, gone through Oscars So White, we have finally emerged with a Grammys hashtag, which is Grammy So Male.
Mm-hmm.
What has come to light are some really interesting figures, but also highlighting discrepancies within the industry and the ability for women to be able to, as I quote Neil, the president of the Recording Academy, step up.
Step up.
Step off, Neil.
So within you know, in the between 2013 and 2018, 899 individuals were nominated for a Grammy Award. And of that 899 individuals, 90.7% of those nominees were male.
Oof.
9.3% were female.
Wow.
And this is all under his tenure?
I don't know if it's necessarily with under his tenure, but that's just...
I don't think it's indicative of the industry itself.
No, absolutely. I mean, I feel like I don't listen to 90% of my music. It's not produced that I listen to or consume and appreciate are male. That, and to dive a little bit deeper into that, 10% of the nominees for Record of the Year were female. And over the last 6 years, zero women have been nominated as Producer of the Year. Oof. Of the top 600 songs from 2012 to 2017, of this 2,767 songwriters credited, 87.7% were male and 12% were female. The top 9 male songwriters claim almost one-fifth, or 19.2%, of the songs in the 6 year sample. The gender ratio of male producers to female producers is 49-1.
Oh, jeez.
Only 2 of the 651 producers were female from an underrepresented racial ethnic group, and 42% of artists were from underrepresented racial ethnic groups. The top male writer has 36 credits, the top female writer has 15 credits. And of the newly released Billboard Power 100, only 18% were women. The publishing history, there has been only one female CEO and one male of color CEO. They currently, in the publishing industry, there's only one current female CEO and one male of color CEO. They currently hold these positions. And I read all these stats.
What is this from?
In a letter from some of the top industry professionals who wrote in response to the president, Neil Portnow, after his comments saying that women should step up in the industry.
He's been the president of the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences since 2002. So that's 16, it's coming up on 16 years.
So this letter is calling for his resignation, and, you know, signed by various managers, producers, nobody from a record label, but just laying out some of the facts, and of which we saw very clearly represented through the winners of the Grammys this year. And Kesha, Lorde was the only one nominated for Album of the Year, which is the big award of the night.
She was the only female nominated.
Only female nominated, and was not offered a solo spot to perform. She was offered a collab performance.
Which never happened, did it? She was offered an opportunity.
She refused it, yeah.
To be part of a Tom Petty tribute, because we lost Tom Petty in the last year. And it was American Girl. Well, she's not American. She was insulted to be part of a collaboration, so she said no. But I don't think they even did
that
performance.
No. The only one they did was Wildflowers.
That's right. It had Emmylou Harris and Chris Stapleton.
Chris Stapleton did Wildflowers.
I love Chris Stapleton and Emmylou, but I was really upset for Lorde, the fact that she had to point it out to the Academy that why do they all get a performance and I don't get a chance to perform? I thought it was really disheartening. I thought his comments, he tried to walk them back after he said them. But the damage was done, and his true colors, I believe, show. And I know this letter was sent on the heels of Portnow and the Academy announcing that they want to create more initiatives to get more women involved. But if you truly felt that way, you should have been doing this a long time ago. Right. And the truth is, women have been stepping up. But, you know, Taylor Swift has to take time off because she's got to go to court because some guy put his hand where it shouldn't have been during a photograph session. Kesha had to take time off because she has to deal with a producer. Like, these are things that are happening. This whole Me Too movement, Time's Up movement. I mean, there are challenges and barriers that men just haven't had to deal with.
I mean, I think it's a matter of no longer allowing things to be swept under the rug, or, you know, more pointedly, be silent. And also women opening up the conversation so women can talk to each other and be like, this is wrong. I'm not going to stay silent and act like everything's fine and continue to move forward. While, you know, men continue to, you know, move on.
And also persons of color. I mean, look how long it took for us to get a rap category at the Grammys.
Right.
It was so far overdue. And I think it's just time that there are more voices at the table and in the executive suites. And it's not that we, you know, we hate men. We don't. But we think there's room for everyone. And I know Alicia Cara got some backlash as well, but I think she had a point in saying, you know, we need to encourage and help everyone. Everyone should have an opportunity. It shouldn't be certain people who get through, who you know.
Right.
Do you have the right look? Do you have the right package put together? You know, music is for everyone. That's why MySpace took off back in the day. That's why SoundCloud exists today. And so, you know, I think there was a nice balance of these poignant moments and political moments. You know, 2018 is just a different time.
Yeah.
What did you think about the Fire and Fury?
Well, it was a...
The Michael Wolff book on what's been going on in the Trump White House,
which was read.
Yes, well, there was a bit of
quote unquote auditions for the audiobook, and so it's various people reading various passages, and then of course the big
reveal.
The big reveal is that it's Hillary Clinton reading it. Having read the book myself. I know that I would absolutely listen to Hillary Clinton reading the entire book, but that's just sort of a little wicked fun. But
was it too much, though, for the Grammys?
I have to say I don't think it was appropriate for the occasion.
Yeah, I don't. To me, it felt like a late night bit.
Yeah.
And this is... I mean, I know there's a category, and like also hashtag congratulations, Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't. I mean, I love me some Cardi B. She's hilarious.
She was hilarious.
And that's all I have to say.
But I think that this was just. It was just, you know, you read the room. I just don't think it was the right.
The artists themselves were already saying things, you know, about the, you know, Time's Up movement, et cetera. There was no need, I think, to go there.
There was no need.
It was funny.
As funny as it was, I mean, the bit landed, but I don't think it was the right place for it. And this is not an endorsement of, you know, Nikki Haley carrying on about having it at the Grammys or Don Jr. or whatever. But I...
Yeah, we'd rather see more puppies as consolation prizes, which was another bit they did.
Jerry Seinfeld.
I loved the puppies. Oh, they were so cute. They were so cute.
They were very cute.
They were adorable.
They were adorable.
Especially the one that Jerry got was like extra cuter. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Mrs. Seinfeld wanted to take that one home.
Clearly.
She did. I mean, she has now made statements on Instagram.
Has she really?
Asking, where is the puppy? I want my puppy. So, yes, that is fact.
The look on her face was like, mine.
Yes. And she has some also great, she has her own career and has some great cookbooks, by the way.
Yeah.
But things that also landed... I thought, was Blue Ivy Carter.
Oh, Blue Ivy runs that house?
It was, I mean, that is one of the most viral things that have happened. And if you haven't catched it, just Google it.
Yeah, Jay-Z and Beyonce's oldest child.
Blue Ivy Carter, she was their guest to the Grammys. Jay was nominated for 444.
Didn't win a thing.
Yeah, most nominated coming into the night. Didn't win a thing, except for the hearts and minds of America and a child that continues to entertain and astound. And they literally, at one point in the night, they were clapping. Both Beyonce and Jay-Z were clapping. And Blue looks over them and puts her hands out and says, "That's enough. That's enough. No more clapping." And it's clearly showcasing how she controls her own parents, even if her parents are Beyonce and Jay-Z.
My other favorite moment of Miss Blue Ivy is the photo of Beyonce holding her daughter's juice box.
Yes.
While her daughter eats a snack pack. And I said, yes. I think there are a lot of parents out there who can totally relate. Like, when it's time to snack, you're going to snack.
And she was in the gold, the famous, was she in the gold crown?
Yeah,
that was last year.
That was last year.
Yeah, this
it was
the
black outfit with a hat.
And Miss Blue Ivy was in the white.
And then the third Carter family, meme of the night, was them walking down a hallway on their way, and a woman just happened to be in the hallway.
An older woman
with her purse, and just her jaw drops, and somebody had happened to capture that photo and release the photo, and captured the minds of everybody being like, that is how I would react if I watched Jay-Z and Beyonce looking stunning as always, just walking down the hallway.
And I love that Beyonce, like, didn't she post that on Instagram?
Yeah, so they
and didn't even crop the woman out.
Yeah, so she was in there, and the woman has now commented and said, I haven't, like, fully fact-checked this, but according to the interwebs, she said she posted that for me because as she was going by, the woman said, nobody will ever believe this. Nobody will ever believe this. And Beyonce looked over and said, like, it's okay, it's okay. And so she believed that Beyonce posted the photo just for her so that her friends would believe her.
I love it.
So, yeah, I mean, that was glorious moments from, you know, throughout the Grammy weekend. Which, also, congratulations, it coming back to New York City.
Yeah,
first time in years.
I don't know if it's going to stay here, but I'm sure glad they were in town. And I thought it was a lot of fun. It's still long, but what award show isn't?
My final shout outs are to Childish Gambino, SZA, who were amazing, and Rihanna, DJ Khaled, and Bryson Tiller.
That was fantastic.
For Wild Thoughts.
Yeah, Rihanna was amazing.
Yeah.
Really impressed. And Dave Chappelle, congrats. They haven't given out the best comedy album in a while. Usually it's done in the pre-show.
Right. Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they did it,
yeah.
Because I recommend folks go to Netflix to check out his specials.
Yes, and back to Riri, though, Santana coming back, I think that goes all the way back to, like,
yes!
Really honoring the past, but it's, like, fascinating because I did look this up. Santana won for that particular album, so the song Wild Thoughts heavily samples Maria Maria,
right.
Which won for Best Pop Performance in 2000, but that Santana album won for 8 Grammys that year, including Album of the Year.
Wow.
So it was fascinating to, like, have such another viral song 18 years later.
That was 18 years ago.
That was 18 years ago. I know. I feel it, too. And
that
it
was the Smooth album, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
Smooth,
with Rob
featuring,
Thomas.
Rob Thomas.
Yes.
I can't.
18
I
years
can't.
Ago. But even that was a throwback to his more 60s,
yeah.
You know, Woodstocky vibe. And then, you know, with the current artists. And so now it's, like, being transferred, like, another level,
right.
With Bryson Tiller and DJ Khaled and Rihanna. I mean, they do, it's, I can't get the song out of my head.
And
the performance was great.
I just have to ask, what is DJ Khaled's
DJ
job?
Khaled!
Like, honestly, all he did was yell at me to do something. Like, what is
another
he, what
one!
Is, what does he do?
I mean, he's a producer.
He kind of interrupts the song, like,
But he was fun in Pitch Perfect 3.
Yes, he was fun in Pitch Perfect 3.
He played himself. He was a lot of fun.
But, like, what does he do? What does he...
I think he's a producer.
Okay. He's a producer. And so he gets really talented people together to create... amazing songs.
And then he interrupts them in the performances by telling the audience
I have seen him perform live several times, and that is not far from,
he's the hype man.
Yeah, I mean, okay, you have to give him credit for, he produces really good songs.
Yeah.
Really good music, and he knows what's up, and making his, you know, a name for himself.
Right.
But yeah,
And then there was the other performance, which sort of was odd, which was U2's appearance.
Yeah, why did they put them outside?
Oh my God.
The poor guys. What? Like, they could have just stayed at home in Ireland if they wanted to be out in the cold. I just felt bad. I mean, it's beautiful, but they could have just put a video of the Statue of Liberty.
They had to have, like, asked for that, though, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, they did the same thing on the very first episode of Jimmy Fallon when he did the Tonight Show, when he transferred to the Tonight Show. They were on the roof.
On the roof.
And you're like, but this is the Tonight Show in a studio. So I have to say, like, that,
I mean,
that was them.
Yeah, they're into that kind of stuff, but...
They looked so cold.
The problem is, it was way too cold by the... point in the evening, the lighting was past that really pretty point. Now it was just, like, awkwardly lit. And it's so obvious that they're lip-syncing because there's no way they can perform in that weather. Adam Clayton looked the most miserable of them all. Well, he's clearly not playing.
Like fingerless
totally rapping. I'm not even pretending, like, you know, Bono, you can walk around without your coat button. That's fine. I'm not. This was not my idea. You added this to the contract for the tour. I didn't agree to this one.
Yeah.
But,
and they must have had to leave right after the opening act because they did a surprise cameo in Kendrick Lamar's opening act. And I said, they must have had to leave, like, right after.
Oh, sure. So they walked right off the stage and went into
missed everything.
And then they came back later.
Yeah.
Right? to present. But it was...
Yeah, they got three chances. Yeah.
And and here's the thing. Now, U2 has meant the world to me growing up. They've been part of my soundtrack of my entire life. I don't know what they're doing.
Well, they're U2. They don't have to explain anything to you.
I know. I'm not owed an explanation by Bono, but I don't know.
All right.
That's all I'll say.
Well, it just makes me wonder what the next year in music is going to bring. You know, one of what Neil Portnow said was just like, oh, well, next year there'll be Taylor Swift. And I don't know, because I heard that Better Man song that she wrote for, Little Big Town. And all I could think of was the Pearl Jam song, Better Man. And
which
I was
a better song.
It was such a better song. And I think... her album, Justin Timberlake's new album, I don't think they've hit or landed the way people had expected. Because 2018, again, I keep repeating myself, but it's a different time. So.
That's funny that you mentioned those two, because the way I would like to summarize my personal feelings and the way that I feel like I've changed in the last 2 years is that in 2016, I was a proud and strong Justin and Taylor fan. Went to their concerts, bought their albums, and in 2018, I don't know if I can say the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's you can make a historical, you know, throwback to, they loved Elvis and Herman's Hermits. And then all of a sudden, the Beatles and The Who and Bob Dylan came out. The culture is changing. The times they are changing. And right now, yes, Taylor and Justin are unbelievably talented, but it's not the right moment. And a few years from now, things will kind of get back to some kind of equilibrium, and we'll be able to listen to.
Or maybe they need to evolve. Maybe, you know, having a beef with Katy Perry just isn't a concern most of us have these days.
But I mean, or if you follow the YouTube model and you just 20 years from now, you just go on a 2020 Justified tour or 1989 exactly. tour again. Yeah. So I think they'll be around.
They're not reading the room.
Right. Yeah. And that's how I felt actually about Bruno Mars sweeping up everything. Bruno Mars is great. I love me some Bruno Mars. And his songs are catchy and fun, and that is such a welcome relief. But right now, we're not in a peppy fun time, and it seems a little frivolous. And it's not to take away from his talent at all. It's just to take away from the moment, the room, and that's how I kind of felt.
Yeah. And, you know, the tributes, we sort of been having in the background playing the award ceremony. And the tributes to Chuck Berry and
Fats Domino,
it reminds me that if you've got it, if you've made an impact, you will be remembered for years to come.
Absolutely.
And I do feel that with Justin and Taylor. They will be remembered
for years
to come. Of course.
And they're going to be around forever. It's just... Right now is not...
Yeah, it's the hiccup.
It's not the moment right now. So...
Yeah, so those were the Grammys.
So...
What's on tap?
So, for 2018, since we're doing things a little differently this year, we're going to end all of our podcasts with a What's on Tapped segment where each of us, and we have not discussed exactly what this will be, will predict one thing for the future as the name of our show. Nicely hints at is like we often feel tapped by our ideas, our thoughts, and our predictions. So each of us will end each show with one prediction related to the topic we've just discussed or not. And so you get a minute maybe to...
Okay, so I'm going to ask each of you, and I have my own thought. So there are a lot of Broadway shows based on movies or an artist. The latest to play right now, Frozen, is going to open on Broadway. Mean Girls is opening on Broadway. And Head Over Heels, The Go-Go's, is going to be opening.
And Pretty Woman.
And Pretty Woman. Okay, so if you could have your favorite artist or movie become a Broadway musical, what would you like to see? Or what do you predict is going to be made?
I will predict, also based on our Grammys conversation, that Lady Gaga will write a Broadway musical one day. Ooh. And she will go on and get an EGOT.
EGOT!
I predict La La Land will come to Broadway in the next 5 years. I also predict in the year 2000, which we can't do anymore, I predict, you heard it here, in 20 years, there will be a Broadway revival of Sweeney Todd, starring Lin-Manuel Miranda and Adele.
Ooh.
That is an interesting prediction.
And Adele will win a Tony, and she will be an EGOT.
Wow.
That is, yeah.
Those are all good answers.
Wait,
I didn't really
you,
have...
You need to answer. You need to answer.
Apocalypse Now.
The musical.
Because it's just that random. It's either Goodfellas or Apocalypse Now.
Starring Ben Platt. Now on Broadway.
Which, by the way, Ben did an honorable job with Somewhere. No, it, like, he gets the standing ovation, and then Patti LuPone comes out, and Rhapsody doesn't stand for Patti LuPone. I was very upset about that, but that's okay. Yeah.
He has Apocalypse Now to redeem himself.
There you go.
Is there an exclamation mark? Apocalypse Now! On Broadway!
They'll just borrow the Miss Saigon helicopter, and it'll all be good. Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
There you go.
These are good predictions. I like you.
I also think that in 2018/19, popular music will get more interesting.
All right.
Yes. I mean, I think it's going to be a good time for art. I know I said that last year in 2017, and thing is, like, art takes time to make. And I think what will be released this year, and I think just like the Academy diversified, the Academy of Motion Pictures diversified their voting board, I think that their recording Academy will also do the same.
Absolutely. They have to. They have to evolve. They have to change. They have to bring more voices to the table. And for every Despacito, there will be a Kendrick Lamar. Like, you also have to have that balance of just a good pop song versus a good song of the moment. So, do you have an untapped question for us? Or
no, I think that's it. I think we all answered. Right. Yeah.
Apocalypse Now.
Coming.
At the Winter Garden Theater.
Coming in 2038. Yeah, look forward to seeing that. And be sure to follow us on all the social medias and tune in for next week's episode.
Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you next time.